absolutely a euphoric end of summer Arizona Saturday morning. And our engineer, Mike Reisch, being the South Dakota jackrabbit that he is doing all he can to keep me distracted. I believe the first day of college football season is the best day of the year. And it is really hard for me to stay on topic. We are a home improvement show.
And Thursday's games don't count.
Thursday's games don't count.
I mean, they count, but not as the first day. I mean, you got to have the day off on a Saturday. You got to have a family over.
Oh, yeah.
You got to have the grill going.
Oh, yeah. We got to smoke up the backyard, baby. Get her going. Hey, thank you for tuning in to Rosie on the House, and we are here. We'll get distracted a little bit talking about football, but not very much. We'll mostly be talking about your house, your home, your castle, or your cabin. And in particular today, we want to talk about flooring. And I've invited a friend, an expert from the Rosie on the House Referral Network, Mr. Vaughn Payne of East Valley Floors, to come in and join us. Because what I want to do today is I want to drill down deep on wood floors. Because I have a very, very strong opinion of wood floors in Arizona. And Vaughn may agree with me, he may disagree with me, but I imagine he knows a whole lot more about the topic than I do, so maybe he can sway me and convince me. Vaughn, thanks for joining us.
Thank you. It's been
one more time.
There you go.
Thank you. It's been a few years since I joined you here in studio, and it's always good to talk to the best audience in Arizona.
Well, thanks a million for coming. We always thank our guests and experts for coming in because, you know, we know this is your day off.
That's okay. I feel passionate about wood flooring in general, and I will stay, after doing this for 29 years, that the warmest, most attractive, and most beautiful floor we install is a hardwood floor.
It is.
Really. Especially the sound under your feet. I know that's not really supposed to creak and crunch, but something about that, just, I don't know.
A creaky, crunchy floor, they call that the poor man's security system.
Let's talk a little bit about the history of wood floors. Now, most of Arizona have moved here from the Midwest, or they got here, or they've been back to the Midwest to visit relatives and grandparents and stuff, and probably the chances are they were walking on the old, authentic, one-inch thick hardwood floor laid over a subfloor of some type. That's just nostalgia, right?
It very much is. And wood has been around forever because it has been really durable. And the beauty of it is maybe secondary, but before they had ceramic tiles and broadloom carpet, wood was readily available. Sometimes even the homeowners would go into the forest back in the pioneer days, and they would cut down trees and do it. And that's why.
Well, sure. When your choice was dirt or wood.
Yeah, your wife thought that was an upgrade.
Yeah, that's right.
And it started with oftentimes pine and wide plank woods, because that's what they could get out of the tree was the widest piece of wood, and it went down easily on joists. And then they would nail it in, and it was, as you say, an upgrade from what
sure.
they had previously.
Absolutely. And when y'all go in with this right now, as it evolved and as the hardwood floors became more and more standardized, we're generally talking about it seemed like the bread and butter of real wood floors was an oak slat, 2.5 inches wide, mm-hmm. tongue and groove, laid over a plywood subfloor. I mean, that's
correct. Usually 3/4 inch tongue and groove, red oak, what we called a strip or shorts, either one. And that was the most practical and readily available almost nationwide at any time by the truckload.
Yeah, absolutely. And now we try to bring that very traditional finish, that very traditional look, because when we started pouring slabs in Phoenix in the 50s and the 60s, and down in Tucson as well, same thing, pouring slab on grade, there were other places in the country that was not a typical detail. You know, everybody asked me, Rosie, why do we not have basements in Arizona? And I'll tell people, it's because of frost line. When you're in the Midwest, or you're in Minnesota, or you're in Michigan, or you're in Wisconsin, and you have to go 48 inches or 50 inches to get below frost line, well, it doesn't cost you that much more if you're going to lay that much foundation anyway go ahead and finish digging the last 2 or 3 feet and come and end up with a basement.
Certainly. You're halfway there.
You're halfway there. Here in Arizona with frost line at 18 inches, you know, you got to really want a basement. And so we stop short and then we pour the slab on grade.
It's really 18? I thought it was less than 18 inches.
It never freezes to 18 inches, but that is the building code frost line minimum requirement. It's 18 inches in Sholo. It's 18 inches in St. John's. It's 18 inches in Prescott. It's 18 inches in Ajo. It's 18 inches in Sun City.
Just a universal, let's just make it 18.
There's just no place in Arizona the frost goes down deeper than 18 inches that I'm aware of. So we that's why we don't have basements. That's why we just pour the concrete slab on grade. And in the 50s and 60s, baby, it was so simple because all we did was just stain it and wax it. And we had to add a dye to it so the FHA mortgage would put a mortgage on it because they wouldn't mortgage raw concrete. But if we put monkey blood dye in it, and made it red. Many of you may remember this, walking in on your old grandparents' home or an old historic home that's in the Phoenix Tucson market. You rip up old carpet or you rip up the old flooring, and it's a red concrete. Well, we had to do that so FHA would put a mortgage on the house.
It was it was shiny as glass.
It was. Very, you wax that baby up, and, I mean, it was durable. It was shiny. It was easy to clean. It had a lot going for it. But then in the 60s and the 70s, we wanted to upgrade that, and a lot of builders started bringing in wood floor. And boy, did we see a lot of nightmares back then, didn't we?
There was a learning curve, and there still is. A lot of people think you can just glue down a wood floor directly. And solid wood, by the Registrar of Contractors standards, still you need to put a plywood subfloor down and a moisture barrier before you install a solid wood. And so there are obviously other options, including engineered wood and laminates today, that give you much more flexibility and durability, for that matter, too.
And we're going to talk about all of those today. We're going to talk about all the different options you have available in wood floors. And listen, Vaughn is not just an expert on wood floors. It's what I want to talk about today, so it's where we're going to stay centered on mostly. But if you have a question about any flooring product, go ahead and give us a ring at 1-888-767-4348. We already have Rick on Peoria. I'd like to ask a question about drywall. I'm going to take your question here in just a minute, Rick. If you've got any project, you know, this is Labor Day weekend. You very well could have scheduled these 3 days to not travel, not go anywhere, and have a home improvement project you want to try and rush in and get done in 3 days. Well, if you're one of those homeowners that has a project you'd like to get done, give us a ring. We can kind of coach you through what tools to get, what products to use, what tricks of the trade might speed the project up, make it look more professional when it's done. If you want to encourage someone else in your house to tackle a 3-day project, give us a call. We'll give you tips on how to properly motivate and encourage that particular individual. Our number, if you'd like to talk to us, is 1-888-767-4348. We're going to get back to the topic of wood floors with Vaughn Payne of East Valley Floors, but let's go to the phones right now and see if we can welcome Rick, see if we can solve his Labor Day home improvement project. Good morning, Rick.
Morning, Rosie. How you doing?
Very well.
In the middle of kitchen remodeling. And
great.
I'm taking down the, over the stove, there's the under cabinet. I'm taking out the cabinet and the under cabinet microwave. My wife is disabled, and I want to put in more of a shelf.
Countermount.
Style microwave.
Yeah.
Drawer style.
Yep.
So that I'm putting in the chimney style hood there.
Okay.
Over the stove. And I want to seal up that exposed ductwork.
Okay.
I was thinking of cutting a square out there to kind of cut it out of the drywall to get to the box to try to cut it out. I was wondering, in the meantime, should I be seal that up with something in the meantime before I do that so that the air conditioning and stuff isn't going up and out?
Yeah. Yeah, I would definitely wrap a piece of plastic on it and some duct tape to keep from losing your air conditioning, for sure.
Okay, and Is that a good idea? Is there a way of cutting the drywall out to get to that box to kind of cut part of that out, or does that sound good, a good idea?
I'm trying to picture. You should have a, depending on the CFM of your exhaust hood, a 6 or an 8-inch pipe coming down from the roof through the attic into your kitchen, okay? You've got that, right?
I believe so. I don't know. I just see the ductwork from inside. I don't know exactly
where it goes. Yeah. Okay. So it's sticking down in the, and it was connected to the back of your old microwave combo vent hood.
Right. I'm going ductless, though. That's what my plans is, to go ductless.
There's the missing component. So you want to seal that ductwork up somehow, cover over it, and just make it go away.
Yeah, I want to cut out a little piece of the drywall because it's kind of bowed out and it's kind of messy and everything. And I just want to cut it out. So I was thinking, would that help in far as cutting part of that box out? Or do I need to do that?
All right, Rick, I got it. So here's what you want to do. You've got that little piece of ductwork coming out of the drywall. What you're going to want to do is with a drywall saw, just probe each direction until you get to the cross members, the framing members that are actually supporting that sheetrock. You're going to be 16 to 24 inches either direction. The ductwork could be probably nailed to one side of it, but go ahead and open that whole area. That'll give you a little bit of operating room, maybe 14 by 16 inches clear. It'll kind of open it up for you. Then you'll be able to go up in that little box area, cut the ductwork off clean, and go ahead and seal it up real good. Don't allow that to remain open. Seal it up really good. And then now when you come back to make that repair, you've already opened the sheet rock up to the framing members, so it's really easy just to take a 1x2 or a 2x2, what we call sister up to the existing joist or the soffit framing, and you've got an easy place right there to go ahead and reattach your drywall to, and you're good to go. Rick, thanks for the call from Peoria. Congratulations for tackling the remodel for your wife. Give us a ring back if you need any more help along the way. We'd love to see some before and after pictures. We'll be back right after this.